My name's Martha Bergren, and I'm presenting some research that was conducted by a research service for the National Association of School Nurses. I'm currently the director of research at NASN. I've been in my position about 3.5 weeks as a full-time employee. Amy Garcia is the executive director of the association, and Donna Mazik is the president of the National Association of School Nurses. So I'm going to be talking about a research study that was conducted to identify valid and reliable data about what is about school nursing services. Oh, and what I clicked through really fast was saying that I have no relationships to disclose for this presentation. As we heard in the last presentation, many children are uninsured, underinsured, or undocumented, and therefore use school health services as their primary care for all types of health support. The public health system, public health departments, surveillance, depend on school health programs to fulfill the public health mission in their states and in their local communities. And all of you are probably aware that we are seeing increasing numbers of children with chronic health conditions and medically fragile children in schools. As the number of NICU graduates increases, the percent of children who have disabilities from premature birth and other problems with birth has stayed constant at 25%. So as the number of premature infants and infants that survive congenital conditions at birth increases every year. In fact, it's increased 40% since the 70s. 25% of that group has stayed constant as children who have disabilities and need services in school. So that's one of the reasons why we're seeing increases in the number of kids that need school nursing services at the medically fragile level. Also, we are seeing increases in the number of children with type 1 diabetes, type 2 diabetes, and anaphylactic reactions to allergies. They're not exactly sure why we're seeing such market increases, but we are seeing those, and another reason why there's more of a demand for school nursing services. There is a gap between health, school health service staffing and the Healthy People 2010 guidelines, recommendations. The recommendations for 2010 and from the National Association of School Nurses is that there should be one school nurse for every 750 well children. There should be one school nurse for every 250 children with chronic health conditions, and one school nurse for every 125 students who are medically fragile. We do not know how many school nurses there are. Many states do not collect statewide documentation. In my own state where I reside, which is Illinois, we have no idea how many school nurses there are in the state of Illinois. And when we try to look at state level data, even from the states that do measure it, they don't always count school nurses the way that we need the information. For instance, they will count a school nurse as being in a district if there is one school nurse in the entire district. They will count that as a full-time school nurse. They can't tell us if somebody is part-time, how part-time. And we know from our own inconsistent data that it can mean as little as 2 hours a week in a school, and it can mean that you have up to 15 schools. I'm familiar with one school nurse, and I believe it's in the state of Wyoming, who has 10 schools, and the two farthest schools are 2 hours apart. So we don't know, we want to know what the intensity of school health services are. So the research question is, what is the intensity of registered nurse services in the United States in schools? And then specifically, what percentage of school buildings have full-time registered nurses serving the general student population? That's another one of the discrepancies we find when states collect data. They will count a nurse who's providing one-on-one services to a student with, say, a ventilator, and count that as a school nurse in that school building, when actually that person is only providing services for one child. So a nationally representative sample was selected from the National Center for Education Statistics Common Core data set from the 92,816 public schools in the United States and the District of Columbia. These schools were selected to represent the entire nation's schools, and the data was collected via telephone interview, completely over the telephone. In the schools that had nurses, the nurse was interviewed, the nurse supervisor, or the nursing assistant in a very few cases, even though there was a school nurse in that school. In schools without nurses, the secretary, the principal, a health aide, an attendance clerk, or a counselor was the respondent, depending on which person in that school was found to have the most information about school nursing, about health care services in that school. So we wanted to know how many had full-time RNs specifically assigned to one building. We wanted to know how many school buildings in the United States had 100% coverage by a registered nurse. So we did not count nurses who were providing one-on-one care or nurses who came in during the day to simply do medical procedures that, due to that state's Nurse Practice Act, could not be delegated to unlicensed persons. So if a nurse came in at noontime just to do gastrostomy feedings or to do urinary catheterizations or central line flushing, that person was not counted as a full-time nurse, even if that person worked full-time in the building doing those services, because they were not serving the general student population. The employer didn't matter. We didn't care if the employer was the school district, the public health department, hospitals, community agencies, and in a few circumstances, volunteers. I'm seeing facial reactions to that. I'll get to that later. So what we found was that the average number of schools that the students served, that the nurses served, was 2.2 schools, and that the average nurse-to-student ratio was 1 to 1,151. So just to remind you that the recommended ratio is 1 to 750, and that would be in a well student population. And we know that the ratios range from as low as around 125 all the way up to 5,000 students and close to 6,000 students per school, per nurse. So 44.84% of the school buildings had a full-time RN. And in addition, in almost 20% of those buildings, there was also additional health office staff support. And that could come in the form of either another RN, an LPN, or some other types of support, for instance, a clerk or a secretary. 6.83%, almost 7% of the buildings had both a full-time RN and another RN assistant, and 1.9% of the schools, almost 2%, had an RN, full-time RN with LPN assistance. Interestingly, states have different preferences for whether or not they place their full-time nurses in elementary schools or in high schools. Some parts of the country feel it's more important at the elementary level, and other parts feel the high school is the school that needs 100% coverage for all sorts of reasons. Elementary schools also tend to be smaller, and we found that 39.72% of the elementary schools had a full-time school nurse assigned, a full-time registered nurse assigned to that school, with the middle schools and the high schools being on average 53%. Now again, high schools are much larger than elementary schools, so I can we understand how that could somehow make sense. And some of these schools actually had more than one RN. Schools that have fewer than 250 students had full-time registered nurses in 21% of the schools, all the way up to schools with greater than 750 students having a full-time RN assigned 100% of the time to that school, 47% of those schools. There was a hypothesis that schools who had higher needs, that is, students with higher poverty levels, would use their Title I money to hire full-time school nurses, because anecdotally we have heard that. In fact, I myself was hired on Title I money in the last school that I worked in, and we did not find that to be true. The percentages of full-time, part-time, and no RNs was almost equal, whether or not the schools were low-income or not low-income when you're looking at the free and reduced lunch. So 44% of both types of schools had full-time RNs, and 29% had part-time, and 25% had no RN in the building, whether or not those students had extra needs or not. So of course the students that are low income, as we heard in the previous session, are much more likely to use the school nurse as their primary health services. So we, conversely, 55% of the school's buildings in the United States do not have a full-time RN. 75% of the schools have an RN who visits at least 2 hours a week. So 75% of the schools in the United States have some RN coverage in their schools, with 25% of the schools having neither full-time or part-time registered nurse coverage. What is really disturbing is that schools that have full-time RNs are also more likely to have other health services. So schools that have the minimal amount of health coverage in an RN are also more likely to have support for that registered nurse and are more likely to have other health professionals working in that school building. And those health professionals can be anything from social workers, audiologists, physicians, community referral agencies that work with that school, physical therapists, et cetera. And looking at it another way, 92%, almost 93% of schools that have some other type of health professional also has a full-time RN. So the kids that aren't getting any RN services are also not getting any other kind of services, which I found the most disturbing finding from the study. Schools without RNs, 6.82 have full or part-time LPNs. And in some states here in this United States, mostly southern states, LPNs are considered eligible for school nursing. Many districts prefer LPNs because of the cost, and in those states, an LPN can provide school nursing services, according to the LPN Nurse Practice Act. 3% have unlicensed health staff, and in almost 15% of the schools, it is some other non-health professional, untrained person who is providing care, and that can be the teacher, guidance counselor, or somebody, anybody in the attendance or main office. Kind of slang for that is any mom will do. So what we found is that the northeastern states are more likely to have RNs in the building, and the southern states were less likely. And there, if you look at the percentages of registered nurses across the country, there is a high concentration per population of RNs in the northeastern part of the country. So there are more RNs in the Northeast. Full-time RNs in the building, there are many school districts that have full-time RNs, but they're not assigned to a specific school. So many school districts are happy to announce that they have full-time registered nurse services, but that they are not assigned to any particular building. And many of the other studies that look at RN coverage also look at all the other nursing that is performed in the school. And some data that's collected doesn't differentiate between whether a person is an RN or an LPN. The consensus kind of side comments that were made to the interviewers was that no matter who was interviewed, whether it was principals, nurses, health aides, the consensus was that there are not enough RNs in the schools in the United States, and that the rising number of schools that are hiring registered nurses are hiring them to do that very specific care that's required by that state's Nurse Practice Act. Florida was singled out as hiring nurses to just come in to administer insulin, and then they leave the building. What was really an interesting finding was that two respondents, despite the interviewer reminding them what a state registered nurse license is, insisted that they were a nurse, even though they did not have any professional licensure at all. And in fact, one of them actually had a job title that was school nurse and was not licensed at all, which that was not, we did not ask that question, so we're not really sure how widespread that was, but I felt that was worth mentioning. So the lack of data prevents us from being able to advise health policy and legislators on the, what the intensity of school nursing services should be. In order to collect better data, we need to have uniform ways of measuring school nursing services, no matter how that information is collected and who it's being collected by, and that we need a universal minimum data set that certain data fields are collected by states across the country so that we can measure the impact of registered nurse services in the schools. Thank you very much. Oh. One more. That's okay. I'll let that one sit up there, and I'll let the next speaker start. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Obviously, there's great disparities in the registered nurse access across the United States. I also said those nurses that need service, those students that need services, are the least likely to have them. And there's implications for public health being able to fulfill its mission through schools, and for health promotion and injury prevention, since those are specifically things that registered nurses do that LPNs and non-licensed health providers would not be doing, and that we really need to be looking at the funding sources for school health care. One of the problems in schools is that the primary payer of school health services are people who are primarily concerned with education and not health. And that we really need to look at if a registered nurse, if it's important to have a registered nurse in a school and that person is doing the services that would be provided by a public health department or in a local community health center, then we really need to be looking at health sources for funding registered nurses. Thank you.